The shout out about the jawline, that was nice, I guess. really glad to be with y'all tonight. Not going to keep y'all for too long, or Mr. Terry told me to keep an eye out for a songbook being thrown up here. But just want to say it's a blessing to be here with y'all tonight. For those that haven't got the chance to meet, my name is Ty Mills. I'm the youth intern here at River Chase. It really has been a blessing being able to work with the kids and spend time with them. And I just want to thank the church here at River Chase for how welcoming y'all have been and the open arms y'all have had for me and my coworker Annalise. She's been great to work with too. And Malvin's been also awesome to work for. He's definitely been a blessing in my life. And again, the kids. And I've been able to see them spend a lot of time and effort this summer serving others and learning more about their faith, and it really has been a blessing and being able to see them grow. Our topic for the summer is joy, as we have on the screen. Annalee and I chose this theme from our topic verse. It was James 1, 2, and 3, which says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness." Throughout the summer, we've gone on a number of trips, as the youth can tell you, and we've attended different events, and it's been pretty cool. We've been able to pause, and at the end of the day, each person in the group will come together and will say where we found joy throughout our day. Our group is never short of surprising me with the answers that they say. It's been a wide range. The kids said they found joy in hearing Paxton's scary stories when we sit around the fire, which make no sense at all. They're super hard to track, but they bring us joy. Some kids say they have found joy making weird noises and sounds at random people at church camps, and look, they like to see how oddly they look at us and how strange they think we are. Malvin, I've been able to find out that Malvin finds an unusual amount of joy in playing board games for hours and hours and hours. But on a more serious note, the kids have given us a really good insight on what joy really is. In many instances this summer, we've been able to open up and be very vulnerable with the things that we struggle with. And sometimes they're light and we have them in common, but more often than not, it's some pretty heavy stuff. And when we're sharing these things and it gets very emotional and it can be very heavy, we're able to close the conversation with something, whether it's big or small, where we found joy in our day. And it's a constant reminder to all of us that joy is enough. Joy is defined as a byproduct of serving others, of sharing good. Joy is a choice. It's not an emotion. If you will, open your Bibles with me to Ecclesiastes 2. We're going to spend most of our time here tonight. Ecclesiastes is one of my favorite books in the Bible. The author of this book, he remains anonymous, but many assume it to be Solomon, which is David's son. As you read through the book of Ecclesiastes, you can see that in our eyes, the author kind of had it all. He mentions how he had much power, how he had money, how he had any spouse he wanted, but he consistently refers to this as hevel. In Hebrew, hevel is defined as vapor or smoke. He uses this as a meaning of temporary or emptiness that he feels. In Ecclesiastes 2, 1 through 8, he lists all of his great riches. He says he has wine. He says he has done great works. He has gardens and plants and trees. He says he has great herds and flocks and silver and gold and wives and sons. He says he has great wisdom. But I want to focus in on verse 11. In verse 11, he says, "Then I considered all that my hands had done and the toil I had expended in doing it. And behold, all was vanity and a striving after wind. And there was nothing to be gained under the sun." He He continues to list how wise he had become in the following verses, but in verse 17 he says, "So I hated life, because what is done under the sun was grievous to me. For all is vanity and a striving after wind." When I read that, this causes me to ask the question, where can I find joy? In the book of Ecclesiastes, the author continues to talk about how empty life can be, and he questions the meaning of life. He talks about death in the later chapters, and he says, if we're all going to die, this is paraphrasing, but he says, if we're all going to die, what's going to make us happy? What's going to bring us joy? What's going to make us really feel full in life? And he acknowledges the fact that everything in life is really totally out of your control. This causes me again to ask the question, where can I find joy? The author goes on in Ecclesiastes to talk about the gift of God, which is the enjoyment of simple good things in life, like friendship and family. He challenges us to take a step back and look for these good things, whether they're big or small, that God puts in our life. This point itself reminds me of the difference between joy and happiness. I think that, at least as a society, and at least as in myself, when I think of joy and happiness, I think of them as the same thing many of times. I kind of combine them together as one. But I think Ecclesiastes kind of brings out the point that there's a difference between them. Joy is an inner feeling, while happiness is an outward expression. Joy endures hardship and trials and connects meaning with purpose. A person pursues joy but chooses happiness. Joy is separated from happiness by witnessing or achieving selflessness to the point of personal sacrifice. I once heard a great quote that kind of summarized joy in a way. It really stuck with me. It said, if a person wins the lottery and wins $10,000, they feel happiness. But if someone works hard and starts their own business and makes $10,000, they feel joy. I'm constantly reminded that God is our only source of joy. We are reminded throughout the Bible that if we want more joy, we must use more joy. This is reminded to me through the biblical story of Joseph. Joseph was constantly treated poorly, and he endured many hardships in his life. At home, his brothers picked on him. They bullied him to the point where they kicked him out of his house. Joseph then goes and works hard, and he makes the right choices. He finds himself gaining in wealth and stature. He's doing the right things, and some things don't go his way that he can't control, and he ends up in prison. And through all this, we see that Joseph still had joy. He still hung on to God throughout all of it, and he knew God was with him. He then interprets some dreams, and he becomes a second-hand man to Pharaoh. He was pretty high up in Pharaoh's army and in his royalty, and Joseph's family is traveling back in town because, as Joseph predicted in a dream, there's a famine outside the land of Canaan, and they travel to Egypt, and they come upon Joseph, but Joseph is a lot older from the last time they saw him, and they don't recognize him. And Joseph, in my eyes, had two options, and he chose the option that personally I don't know if I could have chose. Joseph had the option to rebuke his family, to cast them away, to do harm to them, to just get mad at him and kind of go off, tell him how he felt. But Joseph didn't really do that. He took a step back. He took his own personal feelings and what he wanted to do, and knew that wasn't God's plan, what God had for him. And Joseph embraces his family. He remained joyful and didn't choose violence against his family, but helps them in any way that he could. We learn from this to not turn our attention inwards on our own personal experience, but to turn our attention outwards to others and how we can help them. which can be very, very difficult. Joseph shows that being confident that God is going to finish his work in the hard times and in the good times, that God's not going to leave you, that you may not be able to see him, but he's there. Joseph shows that being confident that God will finish his work will bring a person joy. Joy cannot be found by chasing pleasure and fulfilling egos. Joy does not wrestle with positives and negatives. Joy is love. I have always been a big baseball guy. I started playing baseball when I was 4 years old. I play baseball now at Faulkner University in Montgomery. Baseball has always been kind of like a home for me, a safe place, and it hasn't always been easy, but I find a lot of joy when I do play baseball and just am around the game. And a lot of that comes from my dad. My dad played baseball in high school. He loved the game. He saw my love for baseball at a young age. He got me involved. He made a lot of sacrifices that I didn't see at the time, that as young people, it's hard to see the sacrifices your parents do make, but he made a lot of sacrifices to be there and be at my games and work with me and help me continue to improve. And he was always my biggest coach. He guided me through the game of baseball, and he taught me many life lessons along the way. I remember he cried by my side when I didn't make the seventh grade baseball team, and then he gave me one of the biggest hugs I've ever gotten when I made the eighth grade team. I was able to see the emotion and the love he felt by just doing what I loved, and it meant a lot to me. But in the summer of 2021, me and my dad were at a baseball tournament in Atlanta, Georgia. He started saying he wasn't feeling good, and I didn't really pay much attention to it. I kind of thought it was just a cold or something. But as the week went on, his health got worse, and he went to the doctor, and he tested positive for COVID-19. And again, I thought it wasn't that big of a deal. I was like, dude, you're fine. he was not fine, though. I did not realize it at the time how hard of a journey it was going to be between his health. A week later, he went to the hospital, and within 2 weeks, I didn't know if he was ever going to come home. He was on a ventilator. The nurses said that his body was gray, and the hope of him making it back home to us was very low. I remember standing in the hospital parking lot holding hands with my home congregation, praying that God would have his hand over my dad. That was hard. I felt empty, as the writer in Ecclesiastes talks about. I was kind of left wondering, God, where are you? There's no joy in my life. What's going on? A few days later, he was able to be transported to UAB, and he was attached to an ECMO machine. An ECMO machine for Dad would take the blood out of his body, put oxygen in it, and put it back into his body because he wasn't receiving enough oxygen through his nose and his mouth. This machine ended up keeping my dad alive. He was on this machine for 266 days. He was on a ventilator for about 6 or 7 of those months. He was in the hospital in total for 330 days. Early on in the journey, Mom realized that if she stayed home with me and my younger siblings, have a 12-year-old brother and a 10-year-old sister, when she'd stay home with us, we were happy because we were together, but Dad's health would get worse. And if she stayed the night at the hospital with Dad, his health would get better, but we were upset. And she was left with a decision, and I think personally that she made the right decision. She decided to stay the night with him every night that she could and stay by his side. And at the time when she first made the decision, I kind of wondered, why is she making this? Why is she choosing her husband over her children? But it showed me that when a household is built firmly and built through joy, and built with love that the example of the parents follow. And I was able to see that through her and her decision. But this did leave me and my brother and sister at home. And it was very difficult. I would have to take my siblings to soccer and cheer practice and pick them up from school. And I'd have to do that after my football practice or a football game. And I wasn't able to see mom at a lot of football games, or she'd have to leave a lot of the baseball games early. We'd go up on the go up to the hospital here at UAB every couple of weeks to come visit them. And it was difficult. But I saw the sacrifice my mom made, and my dad's health started improving. And I constantly saw her choose joy in her life. She still somehow remained happy, especially when she came home to take care of us. She was always smiling. And I wondered how. I said, we lost the foundation of our family. We're losing the key to our family. Why are you smiling? But she constantly, no matter what she was going through, found a way to find joy. And I blamed God. I said, God, why is this going on? Why is my dad's health declining? I know I wasn't perfect. I didn't think I did anything to deserve it, but I kept asking why. I wasn't doing good mentally and spiritually. And also wasn't looking for joy. Dad ended up getting a double lung transplant after about 300 days in the hospital. It went successful. He was able a couple weeks later to go to rehab. He's in rehab for about a month or two. And we lived in an apartment here in Birmingham. And he was eventually able to go home and walk with a walker. And he continued to work hard to build up his new lungs that God gave him. And he got stronger and was able to walk on his own. And then his immune system got stronger and he was able to go to different sporting events. He was able to go to my little brother and sister's games. He was able to spend time around visitors. And he was able to go to church. And a couple months ago, he actually gave his story at our home congregation, and it was very powerful. It was a blessing to hear. But I still felt empty. He came home the summer of 2022, and even though our prayers were answered, he was home. I was able to see him last spring come to one of my baseball games that I didn't think he'd ever be able to do again. I still kind of questioned, God, why? What did I do to deserve it? Did I do something to deserve it? Is there any way that people can have joy? And a friend of mine, I was able to go to Faulkner University and meet some good friends in the church. And actually the intern here last year, John Lay, was a great help and great help growing me spiritually. But I was able to talk to him, and he, again, was one of those that always chose joy. And I just saw all these people that it wasn't really happiness. They were happy at times, but they were just more full. And I felt empty. And I had talks with him. I had talks with mom, with dad. But the most important talk that I was dodging was with God. And I had to open up to God. I had to kind of tell him how I was feeling, whether if it was something I thought God wanted to hear or not. And I was introduced to this book of Ecclesiastes and read it and saw how empty the author talked about how he felt and how I related to that. And towards the end of Ecclesiastes, was able to see how he says, the only way you can find joy and find happiness, and the only way joy will be enough for you, is if you look for it. Because God is there. He never left. He always will. He always was, always is, and always will be. You just have to pursue it. And he's there with waiting arms. If you're here tonight and can't seem to find joy in your life, or you realize that you haven't really found yourself looking for it lately, you've been letting things that you can't control your attitude, control your heart, control your mind, I want you to know we have a family here waiting for you. They're here with open arms. We're here to pray with you. We're here to read the Bible with you, to worship with you. If you're here and you realize you aren't a part of our family, and And you realize that, and you realize you want to feel at home. You want to be filled. You want God's love. We are here with you tonight. There's nothing more we'd love than to receive you with open arms. If you're in need, come together as we stand and sing.